Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show with Captain Mickey Eastman. Captain Mickey has been guiding the Texas Gulf Coast waters for over 30 years and has won numerous national and local tournaments. Now, here's your host, Captain Mickey.
Good morning. Welcome to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show on this Saturday morning. It is Halloween. Happy Halloween. If you're into that, trick or treat. Well, I'm Captain Mickey Eastman, producing the Outdoor Show this morning.
Happy spooky day, everybody. Johnny will be here.
It's a little ghosty out there this morning.
Boo.
Yeah. Still a little cool.
Yeah, good. Yeah, it warmed up quite a bit in the, you know, Sugar Land, Missouri City area. Yesterday, I mean, it felt like it almost crept up into, you know, the mid-70s.
It was a nice day yesterday.
It was.
In the afternoon, the wind laid down, and it was absolutely drop-dead gorgeous.
It was very pretty outside.
Yeah, we got a little reinforcement front coming through sometime tomorrow and cool things down and keep it nice. And then it's going to warm up for our opening weekend of hunting season.
Yeah, moon's been big and bright.
We got a full
days.
One tonight.
Oh, yeah.
A real full 99% moon tonight for Halloween. Yeah. Hey, and we get to set the clocks back tonight, so we'll get an extra hour.
Hey, I'll take that.
According to the clocks. So,
hey, don't say that too loud. I might oversleep then.
No, don't do that.
I know.
I'd be a lost goose. I'd be in trouble.
Oh, man.
Oh, well. Well, cool, Johnny B. Let's get Saturday rolling. Good to have you in there, man. Here we go. Our sponsors today, Belleville Meat Market, Boyd's One Stop, Mainstream Marketing, Texan Roofing, and McLean Trailers. Galveston right now, 58 down on island. That's what it feels like. Winds are northeast at 6. Felt a little stronger at my house this morning on the bay, so I don't know. They're calling for pretty much light and variable winds today. East northeast 5 to 10, mostly sunny. A high of 72 down on the island. And then tonight, clear skies, low of 63. Winds will be northeast 5 to 10. And then for tomorrow, sunny, high near 75. Winds will pick up out of the north at 10 to 20 miles per hour. So winds will be picking up a little bit tomorrow with that little reinforcement front coming in. More high pressure. And today, it's the last day you can catch five flounder for a while. They're going to, you know, November 1st, tomorrow, they'll go to a two-fish limit. And remember, minimum length now is 15 inches. So be careful. All right, looking at tides for today, we're on a four-tide schedule. We had a high just occur at the Galveston Channel. It was a 1.5. Our next tide is a low at 10:42 a.m. It's a 0.5. Then a high at 6:08 p.m., a 1.7. And the low late tonight at 11:12 p.m., a 1.3. Sunrise this morning, 7:32 a.m., and sunset, 6:34 p.m. Moon phase will be full, 99%. Currently, 22 nautical miles east of Galveston. We have an east wind at 9, gusting to 13. Water temp at the buoy is 72 degrees. Barometric pressure, 30.18. And Eagle Point, we have an east wind at 14 to 15 miles per hour, 62.6 degree water temperature, and at Morgan's Point, 70 degree water with the east wind at 8 to 9. And all the barometric pressure readings are well over 30 inches, 30.19. So there you have it. It's our weather and tides, and if you're going fishing today, good luck. I'm sure there's going to be tons and tons of flounder enthusiasts today. The fanatics will be there trying to get their five fish before the limit changes tonight at midnight to 2. So there you have it. All right, well, let's get rolling here. Let's go check in with old Bill Watkins this morning over at Sabine Lake and see what he's doing. Bill, good morning. What's up, buddy?
Well, the water level finally dropped. I talked to my friend over at Johnson Bayou, and he said that his yard is now dry, that he's been standing in water over there. It's been up over the roads, you know.
Yeah.
All that hurricane crap. But it's pretty well back down now to normal. So that'll trigger the big move that we've been waiting on. If there's anything left to move.
Yeah.
I'm sure that he told me that the shrimp are still up in the marsh. So, I mean, all that high water and warm temperatures has just kept everything bottled up in the marsh.
Well, we had a lot of shrimp dump out of our, upper areas yesterday also from what the last 2 days, from what I'm hearing from, fishermen I know.
That's probably happening, all right. We should have some movement here. But the lake right now is kind of a mud hole. But that water will start clearing up now.
Yeah.
And we'll get things back to a normal fall. It won't take long. It'll circulate in and out of that marsh 2 or 3 times, and it'll start to clear, filter. And then we'll see what's going on. We'll see what we've got. I know that everybody's looking for the big flounder run right now.
Yeah, that's that's the big news, man. Breaking news, bombshell, flounder.
That's right, breaking news. And the landing over at the causeway will be so full of trucks, he won't be able to hardly launch. All of them trying to get to that one spot at the Chenier where they could catch a bunch of flounder.
What makes that such a popular area they stage up there? Because of the deep water close to there, and then it turns into a flat or what?
Yeah. Those flounder get in these boat basins over here, and they'll do it on the Texas side too. But not many people fish the Texas side. They're all trying to go to the Louisiana side because it's 10 fish any size.
Yeah, a lot more liberal limits.
A lot more liberal limit. And we all wish that Louisiana would do something about that. They have not yet.
Mm-hmm.
That would ease the overcrowding if they would, kind of pull that limit down to about 5. And that would that'd slow down a lot of the traffic.
Yeah.
A lot of people drive over to Cameron too. They go.
Oh yeah, right now, they burn that road up getting over there to Calcasieu.
It's been a little bit difficult to get there, but they've got the roads pretty well cleaned up over there, and a lot of those folks over there are getting electricity off of big generators.
Yeah,
not personal generators, FEMA generators.
Right.
They still hadn't got all their power back home. They've had such a terrible time. I mean,
yeah, that highway that you're talking about, that highway from Sabine Pass over to there, what is that, 80?
82.
82.
Yeah.
Did they ever get all the power poles off the highway? I remember seeing the photos after the storm, after Laura, they were just all laying down across the highway.
Oh, it was bad. It was. I drove over there a couple of weeks ago. I made a run right after that last storm. And I got about halfway to Johnson Bayou, and I was dodging cross arms and wires laying in the road. And I mean, it was terrible. And if you wasn't careful, you'd knock the cab of your truck off on the leaning power pole. And I stopped at a military checkpoint And the guy said, "Hey, boss, where are you heading?" I said, "Nowhere now." I said, "I'm going to turn around right here." I told him what I was doing. I said, I'm a fishing guide over here, and I'm trying to see if I could get to the Johnson Bayou landing. And I said, "But I'm not going to have my people driving down here in the night. That's just too dangerous." He said, "Well, we'll have it out of the way pretty quick." So everything's opened back up over there now. And, you know, it's, but they're selling gas at the Bayak store, but they're not open for business otherwise. Just having problems getting electricity. So,
yeah. Well, they've had it tough over there.
They have, brother. They've got tore up. It's just my buddy here. He's got a great big mobile home with a roof over it, slide outs, you know, a real nice travel trailer type situation. Yeah. And the first hurricane knocked his Laura, knocked it off the blocks. Mm. Well, he got it blocked back up, and the next hurricane 3 weeks later knocked it off the blocks
again. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. It's just, and all of that, they've been moving cattle back and forth to Toledo Bend and back. I mean, those people had a rough, rough go of it.
Well, they have.
Yeah. So something like normalcy would be good for them.
Yeah, it would.
And it's,
I bet they're looking forward to winter this year.
Oh, gosh. A lot of people over there don't even, you know, they still, Holly Beach don't have any power yet.
I'm sure.
Very few houses left. That's a rough deal. I feel sorry for them. That it had to hit somewhere. I wouldn't wish that on anybody.
No, that's a shame. It's just been one of those years. We've never seen anything like this.
No, we haven't. What I'm curious about is what this has done to the bass and the crappie and the, you know, the catfish, all the freshwater fish that are in that marsh.
Yeah.
I'm interested to find out if they were all killed off, like when Rita and Ike destroyed all of those. But these, it was different this time, so I don't know. They may still be in there.
They may be. I saw a photo the other day. Somebody over there had a dead dock shot on the Louisiana side there at the causeway. They had sheep head and drum. I think one or two trout, some reds, and black bass laying on the dock dead, all in one trip.
dead dock shot. I like that.
Dead dock shot.
Yeah, dead book.
Yeah.
Well, I think we will. The trout were moving around pretty good until this last cold front. Now, this one muddied up the lake. But it'll, once it settles down, we'll be right back at it again. So
yeah, we had a lot of wind for a pretty good while, so it stirred everything up. But we dropped all that water, and that's good. That'll be just what the doctor ordered, you know, to get these fish out of the upper reaches and make them a lot easier and more approachable for the average angler.
It's time.
Birds working, you know. There ought to be some good bird action between now and Thanksgiving.
Should be.
You know, with the shrimp falling like they have with these dropping tides and everything. It was welcome.
I'm looking to find some of our better trout, too. I know that a lot of them have been way up in those big bios, way up there. And once they start down, then we'll get them out into the lake where we can reach out and touch them.
Heavens, yes. Hang on, Bill. I'm going to take a quick break and come back, and we'll talk more about, you know, patterns that we'll probably see between now and Thanksgiving time. I'll be right back with you. All right, you're listening to The Outdoor Show. We're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back after these messages. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show on Halloween morning. Man. Sure, some of the kids are a little excited today. Well, they're going to be bouncing off the walls tonight with all that sugar and candy. That'll be something to watch. I'm over those days. All right. Let's get back to Bill. All right, Bill, we're back, man.
All right, buddy.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah, the kid come home. Levi come home from school with a bunch of Halloween candy yesterday.
Oh yeah.
I kind of got into it a little bit. Shame on me.
Yeah. If it's anything with chocolate on it, I'm in. I'm for it. Yeah. I'm after it.
There you go. Oh boy. He's been a little stingy with it though. He said, "Hey, I'm looking for a sugar high. And I'm going to have it." I said, "Okay, go ahead. Get you some of that."
That's it. Eat it up and bounce off the walls.
I can't believe they give those kids that stuff because they have enough trouble controlling them as it is.
True. True.
Anyway, now we're at the time of year where it's hard to know whether to hunt or fish.
I know, isn't that a terrible thing to dilemma to have hanging over a man like that? Jeez.
Oh yeah, that's awful. There's so many things to do in so little time.
I know.
Well,
we try to cram it all in there though.
Since I don't have a deer lease this year, I'll probably spend more time fishing.
Yeah. Poor fish.
Poor fish. Yeah, they'll pay for that, my lack of hunting. That's okay, though. A lot of people don't hunt anymore, so.
No, there are a lot of people fishing in winter. You know, when I first started gadding way back in the day, there were just very few people fished in the wintertime. You know, you had some of your old timers that your old salty dogs that, you know, were hardcore about it, but it was just, it was hard booking trips in the winter.
That's true.
You know, people
but
just didn't.
But if you catch the right day, man. And I think a lot of people just didn't know how good it was.
Yeah. Well, unbelievable trips this time of year. You know, some of the biggest stringers I ever caught over in your area and here at home.
Yeah.
You know, kind of probably more late November. Probably you got about a 4-week window there that I always did real well on big fish. You know, from the last couple of weeks of November to the first couple of weeks of December.
Yeah, that's right.
Just remarkable, just amazing. Unbelievable trips of a lifetime that you'll never forget.
Never forget it. I mean, absolutely just lights out.
You know, it's like those big trout.
It just warm up a little.
Yeah, you get those, you know, pumping south winds, you know, ahead of an approaching front, and those fish would light off for a couple of days ahead of that. And then once the front came through, and then blew itself out, and you started getting a return on your water, then, man, those big logs would just pull up in the shallows and about knee-deep to waist-deep water, and just, boy, they'd be in big schools of big fish. I'm just
longing
for the day to see that one more time.
Me too. One more time, buddy. Before I got to cash in, I sure would like to.
Oh, yeah, you and me both.
You know, we never thought it would go away. We thought it would be that way from now on.
You just think, man, there's just a never-ending supply of these things.
You get the feeling that after you've been out there long enough, you get the feeling that you own those fish. But it's not true.
They own us. They really do. They control us. You know, they have very bad control over us.
It's a shame that a grown man could get so hung up over a little spotted fish.
I know.
But we do. And, you know, the weather, the bad weather has been more of a detriment to our fishing than any of the fishing pressure. I mean, that's been counted in there too.
Oh, the weather has dictated everything. You know, we've just had some, you know, extreme, you know, from one extremity to the next, the last 9 or 10 years, you know, we had that drought deal that we went through for about 3 or 4 years. And we thought, man, this is unbelievable. I can't believe there's that many fish stacked up like this. But they were getting as close to the fresh water as they could, as far in the upper reaches of the system. And then what do we get now, that if you count this year, which we had a lot of fresh water this spring and into the summer. And that's six straight years of that. Now, Harvey, that was just, you know, that was a toilet flusher there.
Oh, God.
I never seen anything like that.
No, that was bad.
And it puts a severe impact on your habitat. That's the biggest deal.
Yeah, we just lost a lot of our fish on that event.
Oh, no doubt.
They didn't have to worry about it. They just swam out the pass and left. And then showed up somewhere else.
Yeah, that's the million-dollar question. Where did they go?
I think they went to Matagorda.
But they don't want to turn around and come back. They're not going to buck the current to get back here. We're just going to have to regrow our fishery again.
It's logical that that's where they went, because that was the first place heading west that you had salty water.
Yeah.
And I think they were just moving ahead of that fresh water.
Well, the currents run that way, down the beach.
Yeah.
Ride the tide. Pretty much what happened.
And we still yet don't know how those fish travel, how they cycle up and down the beachfront. But I've got a pretty good idea that they move east to west most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty much how they do. We'll get a lot of fish coming down the coast from Calcasieu, and they'll pile up on the Louisiana jetty.
Right.
And, you know, prevailing current is kind of makes them go that way. And then they'll hit that jetty, and they'll mill around and go up the Sabine Pass. And,
yeah, they hit that bait flow, you know, that shrimp migration and everything else. They'll stick with that bait, and that's what makes them enter. You know, the tide runners come into the bay system.
And that's right. They,
you know, you got whites leaving, brownies coming, you know, and, you know, I wonder how many fish travel up and down that intercoastal between here and Sabine. You know, it's just...
That would be a real interesting thing if somebody would put a real study on that.
Yeah, I'd like to know the study on that, because I guarantee you fish bounce back and forth. I really believe that.
Well, I know that they have fish coming down the intercoastal from Calcasieu. Mm-hmm. And they go in, because I've witnessed that. They'll show up in East Pass and swarm into the bottom end of Sabine Lake. And I know those fish, they weren't there 2 weeks before, and then all of a sudden there they'll be.
I just show
up. And they're following shrimp and bait as it moves down, and sometimes in September and October.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have a bunch of fresh water pushing, you can watch that happen. And those fish, I'm convinced, they're in that intercoastal and all back in that deep marsh. They're in the Sabine River all the way up to I-10. I mean,
right.
You know, a lot of people have followed them, and that's nothing new. A lot of people follow that, and they go up the Natchez. You know, we got fish going up the Natchez all the way almost to Beaumont. Now, right. Trout usually stop. They don't go all the way to Beaumont very much. Reds do. They go right on up to the saltwater barrier above I-10.
I remember before what was that, around 2007, 2008, somewhere like that, somebody caught a 6-foot bull shark below the Lake Livingston Dam up the Trinity River.
Oh, gosh.
You know, that just tells you, you know, those sharks, those bulls come in. Trinity Bay's always been notorious for having a lot of bull sharks in it, you know, because of the rivers and all that. And
that's right.
Boy, I've seen some white fishing that'll curl your hair. I mean, just absolutely
me too.
Give you the heebie-jeebies. And they're cruising around you, and you're going, man, keep eating these trout. My leg doesn't look that good, buddy. Stay away from me.
It's tough. Hard to chew.
But I remember.
Waders don't taste good.
Yeah, hearing the stories, you know, from the netters back in the day, when we had a lot of netting going on. Both those bull sharks, a big school of them, had hit those nets and just destroy them. Just wipe their net sets out. So,
man. Well, a friend of mine was running a guide trip the other day, and they were fishing in a marsh cut. It was 6 foot deep right there, and a bull shark took one of their nice keeper trout.
Right.
And left them just a head with a little guts hanging off it.
Your old swim bladder hanging out of there.
Scared them all to death. He wasn't even thinking about a bull shark, and that rascal come up there and took that fish right by the side of the boat.
Amazing.
And, he said, I wasn't even thinking about bull sharks.
No. Nope.
I said, me neither. I hadn't seen one in a while.
I saw a big one waiting in the back there 1 year in December. It was cold. We had waders on. I mean, winter was kicked in. And I said, why is this fish here? I never understood that. And I figured he'd be in the Gulf. But no, he was way up on the top end of that lake, man. I guess he was using the ship channel for warmth, you know, the deep water there. Because we were waiting not too far from there up on that north end. Crazy time.
That's amazing. Yeah, I've never seen one in the dead of winter. But that don't mean they're not there.
I know. I never had either till then. And I know what I saw. He swam right between me and another guy that was waiting with me and our stringers. I had my limit, and I'm just catching and releasing, and the other guy's waiting to get one more. And he said, we don't need that one more fish. Let's go. And we loaded up and left. I mean, it was a big one.
Yeah. You were being stalked.
Boy, he had a head on him like Eddie Munster. He was a big boy. Yeah. Oh, well. Well, Bill, I hope you get feeling better and get back on the water and get some fresh air running through your head and everything.
I'm almost there.
And get to catching fish again. Well, look, if somebody wants to come over and fish with you this winter, since you're not going to be hunting as much, how do they get a hold of you, bud?
409-786-2018.
All right, Bill. It's always a pleasure talking to you, and you take care of yourself, man.
You too, buddy.
All right. See ya. All right. That's Captain Bill Watkins over at Sabine Lake. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, 434 in the Bayou City, as we head up to Lake Conroe. Check in with a fish dude this morning. See how he's bouncing around. Richard, what's up?
Not a lot. The temperature sure isn't.
No, not yet.
I guarantee it. And good night. I left the house a while ago. It's 36 degrees. At least it's 45 now.
Yeah.
I just got out of the bottom. That's all that was. So it warmed up good yesterday, though. Good night. It was pretty yesterday.
Boy, yesterday afternoon was drop dead gorgeous, wasn't it?
You're not kidding. I was out there yesterday morning. It started out cold, but it settled down and got nice out there. Hopefully today does the same thing, too. I think the whole weekend should be.
Well, this time of year is the perfect time to, you know, instead of wearing heavy stuff, you just layer up, thicken up, and then as the day goes on, you just keep peeling off.
That's it. You just start chucking layers as you go, and you're good to go. There ain't no doubt. But it's, like I say, yesterday was great. And dang, we had some good fish, too, and it didn't take long to get them either. So we had 37 catfish. Had one of them that was borderline too big. I mean, he was just right at it. But it's I guess he's close to 8-9 pounds, so he wasn't too bad.
Right.
And it's good night. That was good. And I had a new spot too. That's what I'm doing. I'm bouncing around making these new spots because I ain't found my good solid ones yet. I've got some of them kind of located, but you know, I was talking about 10 fish for a gallon.
Right.
That's what I'm looking for. And I'm getting close to them. It's, yesterday was almost 3 gallons with 37 fish. So that's not bad.
No. How about the other morning, Thursday morning when I talked to you, you were going to go bass fishing. How'd you do on that?
I didn't even go. That wind that moved down.
I was wondering about that, man. That wind came up, didn't it? When we were talking, it was calm. I'm going, where's all this wind they called for? Well, it showed up.
It did. See, that's what I was watching. You know, Thursday we were sitting there talking, and I kept looking at my weather, and it showed the wind was north of me. And I'm thinking, you know, dang, I can go. And I said, let me just wait it out just a little bit. And I waited till a little bit after sunrise, and it moved on in. That's exactly what I thought it was going to do, but I don't want to get out there and bounce around in that bass boat if I ain't got to. Not on a wind like that, because it got to gusting pretty hard, and it's Yeah, I just one of them things. That's why I was hanging around waiting it out, just to see what
was going on. I was kind of wondering about that. That's why I asked you. I said, I wonder if Richard went out there and braved that 25 to 30 mile an hour cold north wind. It was west northwest.
Right, and that, I'll tell you what, that would have been a good wind. It's just for fishing for fishing the east side of the lake, you're good, because that's the main thing on Conroe. As long as you don't get a due north, you're pretty much okay. You get a due north or a north, you get too much of a northwest, it'll hurt you. But due north, and then like a northeast don't hurt nothing. But it's you get due north about 25 to 30, you better hold on. It's just like riding the bull. You might as well jump on, throw your rope down, and hang on. Because that's what's going to happen. You're going to ride like crazy. And then that deuce, kind of a south, just a touch of southeast is a bad wind also, but not much. That deuce south will get you. No, good night. I mean, it's okay. Right now, it's all good. The water temperature's still up. I couldn't figure out what the water temperature was yesterday. My front unit went out on me, so I sent it in again. Yeah, I'm sending it in, and that's where my temperature probe is at. So I got to get it back, and it'll be back in the game sometime.
Yeah, I got to calibrate mine ever since my front one. I had that shutdown that time. I've got it, back up, but I lost some numbers. I didn't have my card in there. So I lost some numbers, but I got to download all that again. But my temperature in the front is about 7 degrees difference than the one in the back. So I got to calibrate it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like, talk about losing numbers. Last year I was over on Rayburn fishing that rattle trap deal, right in the middle of it. I lost, something started happening with one of my units. And the guy I had with me, I said, power down that unit. Well, it's those touchscreen units. The touch 12s is what they are, the ACS touch 12s, Gen 2s and 3s. And I told him, I said, power down that unit back there, because, it looked like I was losing voltage, and I didn't want to lose voltage to my front depth finder. Well, instead of using the touchscreen like, you're supposed to, where you hit the power button, you reach up there, and it says power off, and you just touch it, right?
Right.
He holds the power button down. Well, when he did that, and I said, what are you doing? He said, I'm powering it down. I said, no, just hit the power off. He said, oh, it's just shut down. Well, at that exact moment, I lost 4 years' worth of GPS waypoints.
Oh, my goodness.
I know, and that included 3 solid months on Rayburn right there. I mean, that I had just found all my fish on. Every one of them were gone. And I'm going, oh, my gosh, this is horrible. And I didn't back them up, so it teaches you, don't be a knucklehead and back them up, Even though I don't, still to this day, I don't back them up like I ought to. But, on those waypoints, they're when you spend all that time working on finding fish in certain locations, and, say, on some of my places on Conroe even, I'll have a spot where I set the boat, and I have a spot where I cast too. That way I know I set the boat right here and I cast to this mark right here. And I catch fish that way, because I don't disturb the area when I come into it.
Right.
Things like that. It's just certain little places that are like that. And if you figure out they're like that, you just don't, that's the way you do. You sneak in on them. You don't ease up there and start running your motor over them. Say, oh, here it is right here. No, you pull up to this mark and you throw to that mark. You never have to see it. You just know it's there. And it's, some of these places like that, one of them in particular is just one tree. I think it's probably about a 36-inch diameter oak tree down there, and the root ball's still there. It's still got the top in it, and it's laying flat on the bottom. The root ball sticks up, and it lays kind of north to south. And if you know exactly how it lays, you can throw a crankbait around it. You can throw a jig around it, worm around it, and you never even have to You know, never even have to guess. Just pull up that mark, throw it, and there it is. I mean, that's the thing about the GPSs anymore. You know, years ago we used to use these lineups. I know you've done it, I've done it. You know, out there in the bay, y'all probably use cell phone towers or stuff like that. But out, you know, on the lakes, you pull up to somebody in front of somebody's house. Well, what do they got? They got a dock and they got a door. They got a dock and they got a birdhouse. They got the corner of a house, a birdhouse. They got a wrought iron fence. Whatever. You line up that wrought iron fence so it looks like one piece of wrought iron standing straight up. When you hit a certain depth, boom, there's your brush pile. When you got a birdhouse lined up with say the corner of somebody's dock, there you go. Line it up, get a certain depth, there's your brush pile. That's why everybody used to do it. Now, you ain't got to have all that. Just get your side imaging on. Go around out there. Oh, there's one over there, and you mark it. Oh, there's another one over here. And you sit back and look at them and go, oh, this is an old school guy that dumped this one because it's lined up with these two lineup marks. And this here's a new guy because he's out here in the middle of nowhere. He's just kind of on an underwater point where you don't have a lineup. I mean, it's funny how we used to do stuff versus how we do stuff now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, just like paper graphs versus what we got now.
Well, those paper graphs used to draw a pretty picture, though.
I still got two of them.
Do you? The old hummingbirds?
No, I got the old Mach 1s, the Eagle Mach 1s.
Okay, the Eagles, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, I got them, boy. I'll tell you what.
Remember how hard it would get at times to find those scrolls of paper to reload them?
Oh, my gosh, that and the needles.
Yep,
the
needles and paper, horrible. Man.
Yeah, good night. I think I bought a bunch of spares at one point. There's no telling where in the heck all that stuff's at. But, you know, I mean, technology is amazing when it works, but it's horrible when it doesn't.
Yep.
You know, that's the thing. Because, like, right now, I lose myself. You know, I get so caught up in the the contour maps. I've got so many different contour maps I look at. And there's different ones that I like. You know, like Lawrence has got a good built-in unit, a good built-in map inside the unit. But I like the Navionics because you break down into the one-foot contour lines. So you got somebody, and then you got CMAP out there also. But
right.
CMAP has zero information on contour. So, but you get some of them that are so detailed, you can find, I mean, minute little humps out in the middle of nowhere. And it just, like, where in the world did that thing come from? You know, it's stuff that you think you knew about, but you really didn't.
Right.
So, just ambush places and places for them to hide. That's all it amounts to. And it's just like these Guvio hybrids trying to chase this bait. I'm gonna see if I can't find some of them this morning. We'll see if them rascals want to eat. After this front, they ought to get going anyway.
Yeah, it's when you usually start doing good and we get this water temperature drop and these fronts coming in, it gets them to moving and stirred up, man. So
I know. It sounds like the other day with that guy with the fly rod. Whenever we pulled up on them fish, I said, man, you got to look at this depth finder, and he did. I said, look at them. They're everywhere. You can see them on the side, everything, down, scan everything.
All right, Richard. Well, I'm going to roll, my friend. If somebody wants to give you a call, get hooked up with you. Give them some info.
Well, Mickey, anyone get in touch with me, 936-661-7920. You can find me on Facebook. Just check out the Fish Dudes Guide Service. You can email me at admin@fishdudetx.com or just check out the webpage, fishdudetx.com.
All right, Richard, have a good weekend. Good talking to you, man. Be safe out there, buddy.
Yes, sir. Y'all too.
All right. Take care.
All right,
that's the fish dude up on Lake Conroe. Now we're going to go down to Mattagit Down Gorda, see what's up with Charlie P. this morning. Mr. Paradosky, good morning. How are you, bud?
Morning, Mickey. How are you?
I'm good. It's all good.
Yeah, buddy. Well, we'll probably have a crowd down here today, Mickey. The weekend before hunting season starts, they're going to get their last licks, and I guarantee you that.
Oh, you know it.
I'm telling you. It was a slow bite yesterday morning. It, uh, it was almost non-existent. People were running around with their, like a chicken with their heads cut off. They wouldn't bite in the river. They wouldn't bite in the bay. That tide was super low.
Right.
You know, we had high pressure. And it was a beautiful morning, but the ones that stayed out for the afternoon, they lit off yesterday afternoon. And that tide roared back in.
Yeah, it did.
You know? It went from super low to back to normal. And that water temperature was like 58 yesterday morning.
Goodness.
You know, that's like a 20-degree drop.
Well, that's a shocker.
Yeah. Yeah. But it climbed. You know, it was a beautiful day on the water, and the temperature started climbing back. The people that stayed out, they got them in the afternoon. I can guarantee you that.
Yeah, it turned off real pretty here yesterday afternoon. That wind laid down, and it got really nice.
Yeah. It was really pretty in the river, too. There was a lot of eagles flying around, and I guess they were enjoying that cold weather, too. It's been a long, hot summer.
Yeah, it has.
It's good to see some colder weather.
Was the water pretty in the river?
Yeah, beautiful.
Oh, man.
Yeah beautiful. And the bay cleared up yesterday afternoon. It should be all system good today.
Well, that's another plus for us, too, the water temperature drop. And then when we do get these fronts and some little blows, the water will stay a lot cleaner.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that water temperature was, you know, just unusually high all summer long.
Yeah, it was.
I guess that's why we had all these hurricanes this year.
I'm telling you, the oceans were warm, and, you know, we're in that pattern. And, boy, I'm telling you.
Yeah, buddy.
2020 will be one to remember, without a doubt.
It'll be one to forget, too.
Yeah, if you can forget it.
Jesus Christ. Definitely a different one.
Well, this weather right here is kind of right up our alley. This is what we live all year long for. You know, it's a cool down with these fronts, water temperature dropping. It'll congregate fish better. It makes life a lot easier for a fishing guide anyway.
You know, it should have sucked a lot of stuff out of that marsh. It doesn't seem like the crop of shrimp like we normally have. You know, I've talked to people that fish with kayaks back in that marsh, and they weren't seeing the shrimp this year like we have in the past. You know, buckets of shrimp everywhere.
Right.
And I did a lot of weight fishing. You know, this fall, and I wasn't kicking up those shrimp on the shorelines like I normally do.
Well, you know, day before yesterday, that first day of the big blow on this front, old Greg Francis put a short video on Facebook, him wading in the water.
Yeah.
Now, I'm sure he's over in West Bay somewhere, but, I mean, every step he'd kick 8, 10, 20 shrimp out of the water just to start flying out of the water, and flounder burnouts like crazy on the flat he was on. Then he gets in and cleans his catch, and the flounder just gorged, just slap dab full of those small shrimp that were flying out of the water like that. So that front gave us somewhat of a dump, and there was a lot of birds working. James, I'll talk to him in a little while, and he experienced the same thing yesterday over there.
It definitely brought out a lot of shrimp here yesterday, too, but it just didn't seem like all year long that we had to crop the shrimp.
Right. I know what you're saying.
The shrimper was having a problem getting them all year long.
Sure.
You know, but it's just a different year.
You got a trip today?
Yeah, I've got the same two guys I had yesterday.
They got right. You told me that. You slid them over because of the front. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, they got in the boat with a bottle of whiskey. We were sipping on it as we were pulling out of the dock. So I knew I was going to have a short day.
Medicinal purposes.
Yeah. It was pretty chilly for them.
Well, I hope it was good whiskey.
I think I saw Pendleton something.
Yeah, that's supposed to be good. I had never tried any, but
they put a dent in that bottle, I can tell you that.
There you go. A little nip for the cold weather, man.
Yep.
Take the edge off.
Yes, sir.
Oh, goodness. Yep. I'd like to see them do that on a 100-degree day out there.
Yeah, no. No, I think that cold weather had something to do with it.
I'm sure it did. Oh, well. All right, Charlie. Well, good luck to y'all today. Maybe they'll light off for you this morning and get them going good. But if somebody wants to come over and fish with you, give them a number, man.
713-725-2401.
All right, Charlie. Well, be safe out there and good luck to you. Hope y'all light them up.
Take care, Mickey.
All right, bud. See ya. Bye. All right, that's Captain Charlie Paradosky and Matta Get Down Gorda.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.